book of Ephesians. And I just want to thank you. You've been such a blessing. And I've told Preacher a lot of liberty to preach. Y'all make it very easy to preach. Amen. If you haven't liked what I've been preaching, you kept it pretty quiet where I couldn't see it. Amen. I don't know if you're good actors or whatever, but so far it just looks like you're with me on the same page, and that's just a blessing. Amen. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. That word beseech means I beg you, I plead with you. I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. I remember that word beseech being in Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, where it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And my first question is, why would Paul be beseeching us, begging us to do something that we ought to do anyway? I mean, as a matter of fact, in Romans 12, it says, it's our reasonable service. But he's beseeching us to do it. And here he's beseeching us to walk worthy. Why would we not want to walk worthy?
Right.
In Bible college, I learned a few things. Bible college, mainly you learn how to study. Because preachers are going to, he mentioned it, preachers are going to have to study the rest of their lives. So they need to learn how. Mm-hmm. And so I did learn this. Whenever you see a therefore or a wherefore, look at the previous verses of chapters and see what it's there for. Paul has been saying something that has led him up to this statement. So let's look in chapter 1 and see why. I mean, Paul's building an argument here. And why should we want to walk worthy? In chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Number one, I want to walk worthy because I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We are blessed people.
Yes, sir.
Now, sometimes, well, we're spoiled. Let me put it that way. We are spoiled. Whenever I go to a mission field and come back, just pray it's not to your church. Because I'm in a bad mood for about a month. Looking a spoiled brats, amen, after I've been over somewhere. Amen. I just don't have patience with you. Amen. Until I get spoiled with you after I've been here for a while. But there's so many things we're spoiled about. But one thing is, we think blessings are either money or feel good or whatever. You're blessed when God says you're blessed. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You may not feel good and things might be going bad, but if you're not sitting in the counsel of the ungodly, God says you're blessed.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You're blessed.
Yes.
Here's one. Blessed is a man that hath his quiver full of them. Mm-hmm. Talking about children. When we used to, you know, when we started having kids, we started out to have two. And they were so much fun, we just kept having them. Amen. Just, amen. And but people say, how many children do you have? Seven. Good night. It's not a curse. God said it's a blessing.
Right.
It's a blessing.
Yeah.
So there's, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And I just want you to know tonight, That you just find you some verses in the Bible that blessed is. Look through the Beatitudes. Blessed is a man. Amen. Walk all those. You know, blessed the meek. Blessed are the pure in heart. I mean, if you can fit your name there, you're blessed. God says you are.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. So, amen. Number one, I want to walk worthy because I'm blessed.
Yes.
Number two, verse 4, it says, "According as He hath chosen us in Him." Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So, second of all, I want to walk worthy because He chose me.
Right.
Now, I have a friend in Kentucky who has a man in his church, lived kind of a rough background till he got saved. And sometimes he'll testify and he'll say this. And I understand what he's talking about, the people in the church do. He'll just say, "I'm just thanking the Lord that He's not choosy." And we understand that, you know, he was a sinner, but God saved. But listen, God is choosing. If you got saved, He chose you.
Amen.
I'm not hyper-Calvinist. I'm just saying, He chose us.
Right, right.
Amen. Amen. My daughter, my youngest daughter, you know, of course, and she wasn't the brat, but of all the kids in our, you know, of all the kids I had, she might have been spoiled more than the rest of them.
When we did that, you spanked us. When she does it, you don't.
Yes, you're right. I don't spank her because I got tennis elbow from spanking y'all. And I just, it hurts. It hurts when I spank. So I just don't. But anyway, but she did have a problem. She had no problem with self-esteem. You know what I'm saying? She was very pleased with herself. So I tried to help her with that. Amen. I said, "Joanna, you can rest assured you are not adopted." "Oh, Daddy." I said, "Because I wouldn't have chosen you." Amen. Amen. And I would have, because she's my favorite. Amen. But did you know that God chose you?
Amen.
I feel special. You ought to feel special. He chose you. I want to walk worthy because He chose me. Amen. Amen. Verse 5, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." I mentioned that the other day when I was singing that song, "I'm accepted." But He made us accepted. Because, see, there's something in us. Even Baptists who believe in once saved, always saved. We get saved by the grace of God. We know it's not by works. We know it's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And we understand that. But even at that, when we get saved, then we try to make Him accept us. Do you know what? He made you accepted. You don't have to make yourself accepted. He made you accepted in the Beloved.
Amen.
You don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Listen, my kids, my grandkids, they bring, you know, stuff they colored. They bring it up to you. And they don't say it in words, but when they look at you, it's like they're thinking, "Now what do you think about me?" Right?
Right?
And that's the way we are with God. "Now what do you think about me?" Do you know what? I couldn't have thought any higher of them than I already thought. I don't care if they got out of the lines.
Yeah, right.
Amen. They're my kids. Mm-hmm. They're my grandkids.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm just saying, you're His kid. He made you accepted in the Beloved. You don't have to do anything for Him to accept you.
Amen.
He made you acceptable.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
We have a unique situation here, unique relationship. Most of the time, when you have that perfect sibling in your family, we have one in our family. Our kids call her the golden child. She never did anything wrong. She never got spankings, but she didn't need them. But it makes it hard on everybody else when they got that golden child. But in our family, Jesus is our big brother. And He is the golden child. But we're clothed in His righteousness. So we're all golden children because of Him. Amen. And other families, can you imagine being Jesus' brothers and sisters? I mean, he had brothers and sisters. What would Jesus do? Amen. But he made us accepted in the beloved. Amen. I want to walk worthy because of that. Amen. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. I want to walk worthy because I have been forgiven of all my sins.
Amen.
Not only forgiven, but they're forgotten.
Right.
Amen. Do you understand that? You do understand it.
It's hard.
But we don't practice it a lot in our hearts and our minds.
Right.
How many have ever confessed a sin more than once because you felt so guilty about it Do you know the second time you confessed it, he didn't have a clue what you were talking about? Because he not only forgives sins, he has the ability to forget. He can consciously forget your sins and he doesn't have a clue what you're talking about. So let me give you some advice. Forgive yourself. Just forgive yourself because he's already forgiven you.
Right, yes, sir.
And he doesn't know what you're talking about. As far as he's concerned, it never happened.
Praise God.
So you need to forgive yourself. We were golfing Monday. And my favorite golfer was Jack Nicklaus, still is. Just a great golfer. And I had a video of his, Golf My Way. A great instructional video. But somebody asked him, what do you do after you make a bad shot? I make a few bad shots, so I'm listening. I mean, what do you do after you make a bad shot? I'm listening. You know what he said? I think about the next shot. You know what we do? We think about the shot we just made and we're grieving over it and, I'm so stupid and so dumb. He said, no, I think about the next shot. That's why Paul said, pressing toward, forgetting those things which are behind,
yeah,
and pressing for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm forgiven. I want to walk worthy because I'm forgiven.
Amen.
I'm forgiven. Amen. Verse 9, having made known to us by the mystery of his will, he has a will for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
He has a plan for our lives. Do you know how advantageous that can be? Do you know how dumb we are? And we try to plan our lives?
Yeah. Help us.
You're just going to make a big old mess of it. He has a plan for your life.
Amen.
The only drawback is that you just have to sign up to it not knowing what it is.
Right. Yes, sir. Yeah.
If you had told me when I first got saved that I'd be doing what I'm doing right now, I'd say, you're an idiot. It would have scared me to death.
Right.
But I signed up to whatever he wanted.
Mm.
And that's what surrender means.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Matter of fact, I didn't surrender. Are y'all listening? I might preach this later on, but I'm going to say it right now. 5 years after I was in the ministry and preaching, I surrendered to the Lord. People think preachers are surrendered. No. They surrendered to preach. There used to be a game show years ago, Let's Make a Deal. That's what us Christians do all the time. We cut deals with God. I'll do this, but I'm not going to do that. I'll do this. That's big. But I'm not going to do that. And it's small, but I'm not going to do it. When I surrender to the Lord, I surrender to not preach if that's what he wanted. That's what surrender means.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you what, when you surrender to him and you say, God, thy will be done.
Yeah.
Buckle your seatbelt. Because it's good. You could have never planned it yourself.
Amen.
You could have never written a book about it yourself.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, I want to walk worthy because He has a will for my life and He has a will for your life. Amen. Let's see. Let's look in 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Yes.
I want to walk worthy because I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit, and I've said it already, but I'm pathetically saved.
Yeah.
That other group that believes you can lose your salvation, here's the accusation they make against us. Oh, you Baptists, you think you can just get saved and just go live any way you want to and still go to heaven. Well, number one, we're not wanting to live like hell. And number two, if we do, we might go to heaven sooner than we were supposed to. Amen. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteth. Amen.
Yeah.
And Paul said, some of you sleep because you've taken the Lord's Supper unworthily. Amen. God killed you. Oh, God would never do that. Well, you got the wrong, not the God of the Bible. But they were building the Golden Gate Bridge. A huge, huge undertaking. And after a while, people stopped showing up for work because they got away from the bank and are getting way, way up and way, way out. And people stopped going to work because they were scared. And after a while, the engineers told the bosses, they said, we're not going to finish because the work production is down so much percentage. We're not going to finish. And so they asked the engineers to come up with something. You know what they came up with? A net. They built a huge net and put underneath that bridge. And when they put that net under the bridge, people started showing up for work because they felt secure. Eternal security is not a license to have you just go out and sin. Eternal security makes me want to go to work because I'm secure. My boss is taking care of me, and I don't have to fear hell anymore. I serve Him because He loves me and because He's taking care of me. Amen. It says we're sealed until the day of redemption. Years ago, we were at a church in Tennessee. It was a poorest town. It was a poorest church. We were the poorest church staff in the world. From January to June, I made $1,800 at that church. Amen. God's good. So we had to do something. So one thing, because we liked eating, I plowed up the whole backyard and planted a garden. The whole backyard. I mean, as a matter of fact, I cheated a little. I went beyond the fence and put a row of corn. Amen. The whole backyard. And a friend in the church had a farm, so I went over to his place and got a bunch of horse manure and put in there and just fertilized that thing real good. Planted a row of cucumbers. Well, they didn't come up when I thought they should, so I planted me another row. And then we had us a good rain, and I had two huge rows of cucumbers. So we're in the pickle business. I mean, every day, I mean, just pickles, cucumbers. And so my wife was expecting our fourth child, and so she required my help canning. And so I learned how to can with her, and we canned pickles. And I remember at night, we'd take the last batch off the oven or off the stove and take the cans out and put them on the dish towel, and we'd be laying in the bed, and we're like, there's one. Oh, there's two. There's three. However many cans we put on the dish towel, we counted, make sure that that's how many popped. Amen. If it didn't. And you millennials don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Amen. Amen. When they seal, they pop. Amen. May 19th, 1970, that preacher said, if you'll just come to Jesus, He'll save you. And in my heart, I said, I'm coming. And I was sealed. Amen. I feel very secure in here. Amen. You ever see a rebel pickle? I'm getting out of this jar. You're not going anywhere. Amen.
Amen.
I believe in the security of the believer.
Amen.
Amen. I'm sealed until the day of redemption.
Right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So I want to walk worthy because of that. So I don't know how many times in the book of Ephesians and Galatians, in Galatians, he says, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And in chapter 4, we just read, he says, I beseech you that you walk worthy. Now, listen, let's look in chapter 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk circumspectly. What that means is, if you can imagine a cat walking on a picket fence with two Doberman pinchers on each side of the fence. He's going to walk circumspectly. He's going to stay as in the middle as he can. He's going to be walking carefully. He's not going to be showing off. He's not going to see how close to the edge he can get. He's certainly not going to be sticking his tongue out at him. Amen. He's just going to be walking circumspectly. And God says, Paul says here, that we ought to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You ever hear somebody falling into sin? You know how they fell into sin? They got too close to the edge. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The next verse, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise. Don't be a fool. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? Walk circumspectly. How do you do it? And be not drunk with wine, wherein the exec says, but be filled with the Spirit. Walking circumspectly is a supernatural walk. And we're not capable of doing it without God's help. And the help we get from God is when we get filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, this verse compares being filled with the Holy Spirit to being filled with alcohol. It says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. When people get pulled over, they're weaving around, they get pulled over, and they'll arrest them for what, Ben? Under the influence. Mm-hmm. Under the influence. And it is, sometimes I watch those cop shows, you know, they'll pull somebody over and they'll have them step out of the car and have them walk, either touch their nose or walk the line or whatever. And they're trying to touch their nose and they've walked the line and they're all over the place. And let me try it again. I know I can do this, you know, and they can't. They're under the influence. They cannot walk the line. They're under the influence. Are you with me? Says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. I don't think I need to say this here, but I'm going to say it anyway, because in some churches now, they're saying that it's okay to drink alcoholic beverages, that it's okay. Wine is a mocker.
Right.
Strong drink is raging.
Yep.
And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise.
Right, yes, sir.
You're a fool.
Yeah.
It says you're not wise. You're a fool,
right,
if you mess with alcoholic beverage,
yeah,
drugs, whatever you want to call it, anything.
Yes,
any. You're not smart.
Right.
You're not smart. Well, you say, well, I can handle a wine at supper or a beer. I can handle a beer at supper. Maybe your kid can't.
Right.
Exactly.
My brother's an alcoholic. All it took was one drink, and there's something in his body said, you got to have this. This is good. First time I had some, I thought it was gross. Different. You might can handle it. Your grandkid, would you like to be guilty of your grandkid becoming an alcoholic because you gave him the first drink? You say, but it's just me and there's nobody involved and I have... Okay, here's a verse for you. Look not upon the wine when it changes its color and turns itself aright in a cup, for at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder.
Yeah.
You see, people say, well, Jesus drank wine. According to that verse, there's two kinds of wine. There's a kind of wine that turns itself aright in a cup and changes its color, and that's fermentation.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, don't even look at it! There's another kind of wine that don't change its color and don't turn itself aright in a cup, and that's called Welch's. It's good stuff.
Amen.
New wine.
Yeah.
Why would Jesus change water to something that you're stupid if you drank it?
Right.
You're not wise. Why would he change? Why would he do that?
Right.
It wasn't intoxicating wine.
Right.
It was new wine.
Amen.
Squeezed out of the grape.
Good stuff.
I've never pastored. If I ever did, I'd do away with those little bitty things behind your pew there where you can stick those little bitty Lord's Supper cups that big. I'd have a big old hole. Amen. Can you imagine the disciples drinking this little... whatever. Amen. Let's keep reading here. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't be under the influence of alcohol, drug. Don't be under the influence. But be filled with the Spirit.
Yes.
Do be under the influence, but not of alcohol.
Right.
Be under the influence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It says to be filled. It doesn't say get filled. Be. The verb to be, English grammar, is a continual. Continually be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Continually.
Yes, sir.
We think if it's time to preach, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we're going to sing a special, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we're going to teach a Sunday school class, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we're going soul winning, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. No, be filled with the Spirit.
That's good. Instant.
When you wake up 2 o'clock in the morning, you're under the influence. Or you're getting under the influence. How do you get filled with the Holy Spirit? You ask Him. So the question tonight is this. Very simple question. Are you? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? I got three tests to give you to see if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's the first one. Ask your husband. Ask your wife. Ask your mama and daddy. Ask your kids. Am I filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm not a doctor. I'm not even a policeman, but I know when they're... I'm pretty well diagnosed they're under the influence. You know what? Most folks know if you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit or not. That's one test. Here's another test, and I see it all over the room here. Are you full of joy, goodness, peace, long-suffering, love, faith, kindness, temperance, gentleness, meekness? Are you full of that? Because that's the fruit.
Right.
If you're full of that, then you're full of the Holy Spirit. Now, if that didn't help you, this is last-ditch measures. But this is sure-fire way. I travel a lot. And, you know, when you're driving, you can't read, can't study, can't do a lot of things with your mind, but your mind is still working. And it's doing stuff. And if you're warped like I am, it's doing some crazy stuff. It's thinking some crazy stuff. And I get entertained by stuff that normal people don't get entertained by. I just stuff just gets up in there. And one thing that entertains me is roadkill. When you drive a lot, you see, and especially if you pass the same roadkill every day and you see that it's gaining weight. And you know it hadn't eaten anything, but it's gaining weight. And after a while, there's no loose skin in it at all. It's just... Now, when I was a kid, I always wondered what's in there. You never wondered? What's in there? And I found out if you'll take a long pointed stick, you can take a short one if you want to. But I recommend a long one. You ought to get a long one. A long pointed stick and poke them. You find out what they're full of. Amen. Last time you got poked, what came out? Y'all know what I mean by getting poked, right? Last time you got poked, what came out? Joy, goodness, peace, long-suffering, love, faith, kindness, temperance, gentleness, meekness, or was it something else? Houston, we have a problem. If it wasn't that, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, I think it is, it's got these things. But in the next couple of verses, it says, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And it's some stinky, yucky stuff. And if it wasn't this, it was probably that stinky, yucky stuff in those next two verses. So, before we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we better get that stuff out.
Yeah.
Well, I got good news for you. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I remember when I first got saved, I felt so clean. It felt so good. I didn't think I'd ever sin again. It just felt so good to be forgiven and clean. And I remember my first sin. It shocked me. I couldn't believe. And it was cussing. That was my big deal anyway. And next day. But I never felt that dirty when that word came out. That it always felt cute. Always made me feel big, but it didn't make me feel big. It made me feel small, and it made me feel dirty. And I confessed it right then. I'm saying the works of the flesh, it's icky, it's horrible. We need to get it cleaned out. Because when you got poked last time, if it wasn't this stuff, it was the other stuff. It's still in there. Sometimes you get a boil or something like it, they'll lance it. But if they don't put antibiotic in there, that skin will close up and that stuff will come right back up in there. And that's what happens. Most of the time, we wait from revival meeting to revival meeting to get cleaned up. That is not going to work. You need to get it cleaned out. Might be just one thing, might be a few things. But before you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you got to get that other stuff out. Get it out. Confess it. Ask God to get you clean. Then when you get clean, you say, God, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? And then maybe 5 minutes later, ask him again. A good drunk. I'm talking about a good drunk. They went to the bar one time and they got drunk and they hadn't been back since. That's a good drunk. No, they frequent the bar. They got a wet bar at home. They got beers in the refrigerator. That's a good drunk. I'm saying continually make sure you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Make it a habit. I was just listening to a couple of messages, parts of messages by Uncle Bud Robinson. He's an old Nazarene preacher. He preached a lot on being filled with the Holy Spirit. He called it the second blessing. I don't care what you call it, just so you have it. But he's talking about being filled with the Spirit. He had impediment in his speech, couldn't talk plainly. He got better years after the years went on, but when he first started, people had a hard time even understanding him. But he gave this illustration. He said, I went to the Twain station, and I asked a man for a ticket to a certain town, and he said, we don't go to that town, sir. And he says, I know you do. I've been here before. Got a ticket to that town. He said, no, sir, we don't go to that town. He said, I got mad, told the man he was wrong, and told him to see his supervisor. So his supervisor came out and said, sir, I'm so sorry. He's only been here 2 weeks. He doesn't know that we do go to that town. Here's your ticket. I want to apologize and tell you I'm sorry. He said, so I got my ticket. He said, but when I walk away, he said, the birds wasn't singing. The birds wasn't singing. He said, so I turned back around and went to the man at the ticket counter and told the man I was sorry, that I shouldn't have talked to him like that. I was a Christian. And he said, I got right with that man. He said, and I turned back away and the bird was singing. Every time I think about that illustration, I think, for some of us, it's been so long since we've heard the birds singing, we haven't noticed that they're not singing. We get to where this halfway Christian life we live is normal. We need to understand it is subnormal. It is abnormal. That's not the Christian life. Christian life, you look in the book of Acts and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The whole church, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to get to a point in our lives where the first sin, no matter how big or small, it tastes really dirty. And the first sin, whether great or small, say, whoops, the birds aren't singing. What did I do? And normally, you'll pick it up right like that. You'll know what it is. And sometimes it's not something big. But it's something he's not pleased with. It's something a Christian ought not be. And it usually starts right here, what we think. Bob Jones Sr. said, a wicked life is a result of a lot of wicked thinking. As soon as it comes up here, the birds will stop singing and you'll say, oh, I can't think that. That's wrong. God, forgive me, cleanse me, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Now let me tell you the result. Again, the book of Acts, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the whole church, filled with the Holy Spirit. All filled with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, temperance, meekness, faith. Full of that stuff. What kind of church? What kind of church would Victory Baptist be if everybody's full of that stuff? All week long.
Yeah.
Not just Sundays. I'm saying it's possible.
Amen.
I'm saying if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's impossible to not be like that. You can't help it. That guy can't help that he can't walk that line. You get filled with the Holy Ghost, you can't help but be full of love, joy, peace, long. You can't help but be full of that. That's the fruit. Well, I got to work on joy. No, you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll be full of joy and not even know why you got it. I'm weak on love. No, you're weak on being filled with the Holy Spirit. You get filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll love, won't even know what you're doing.
Amen.
I mean, sometimes we work on different things. No, don't work on any of it. Just get filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's just going to be bubbling out.
Amen.
There's a few things. I preach a whole message on how to have a supernatural, normal Christian life. And there's a few and most of them are things we know. We already know. And you know you're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So why don't we do it? So we're going to give an invitation. I just invite you to come up, get cleaned up first. Might take a few minutes to get clean. Ask God. David said, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me." You might want to do that. When he starts revealing it to you, get it cleaned out. And then say, "Father, would you please fill me with the Holy Spirit? Would you fill me with the Holy Spirit?" He said he would. But he can't fill something that's already full.